adult audience.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
All right, buddy, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191, and let's start out with a serious, quiet moment here, because this will be my last chance to do so, because our guest tonight is Bert Kreischer, and that's Bert in the background there, and we are rapidly falling in love with Bert. He's been on the show before, and we're going to make him come back and visit us, and mostly when Bert's on the show, I look forward to not being able to breathe because I'm laughing so damn hard. So thanks for coming back, Bert.
I appreciate you.
It strengthens my ab muscles. It's really good.
Yeah, I felt that same way when I went home. And then it was like, this is the worst part, is I came home and then I got in bed with my wife, and I technically was still on Loveline.
Yeah.
In bed with my wife for the next 2 hours going, and then this one time, and then you should have heard. She's like, I listened to it, honey. I listened to it. I was like, yeah, but off the air, Drew said, oh, my God, you should totally. You know what Drew's wearing? Do you know what Drew's wearing? So.
Well, there you go. That's it. That's Bert Kreischer.
Yes.
And Oliver Stone has optioned the right to his story.
Oh, that's old. That's old.
Well, I want to tell some of these stories again, because he was named by Rolling Stone magazine the number one party animal in the country. Now, take us back. Take us through that quickly. How did that happen?
Okay, 1997. I was in college.
You're Florida State?
Florida State, yeah. Seminole. And I was basically just in college. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And then,
yeah, were you actually going to college? You're just busy.
I was the king of dropping semesters.
Yes, yeah.
Like, I was really good at that. Like, let me tell you something. If you're in college right now, brain injuries for a school's medical department are really hard to figure out.
So you would come in and feign a brain injury?
I've been having, like, this memory thing. Oh. And, like, I sweat when I sleep. And you just got to throw out enough symptoms to confuse them. And then they're like, really? Another great way to drop
Bert,
a semester?
You're a sociopath. I didn't know that about you.
I was so good. Another way? My parents are getting divorced.
Oh, they like that?
Yeah, well, mine were. Mine were at the time, but it worked out so perfectly.
Convenient for you.
So I was in college for like 7 years, and then my last year, that fall, this guy called, just random. I told you last time, this is the truth. I said it again. My buddy called me from Tampa. He's like, dude, you said my name. Me and Blair were smoking pot. I just ratted him out. He's a lawyer in Tampa now. He's like, again, okay, really? Me and Blair smoking pot, and Hutch and Harper, we're all hanging out, and we got a phone call, and it was Rolling Stone. But it was like, in the middle, like, Bert, Rolling Stone's on the phone for you.
You're like, yeah,
and
right.
I'm in the middle of I was like.
You're in the middle of a bong load.
Yeah, and I was like, hello. And he was like, hey, man, I'm Rolling Stone. You mind if I spend the week with you? And I'm like, sure, whatever.
How'd they find you?
He called all the organization heads at the time and said, you know, if there's one guy that can show me a broad spectrum of the school.
A big
like
experience.
Like athletes, for fraternity, not just one group of 10 guys.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I'd been there so long. I mean, I knew everyone. Yeah. So, I mean, I was freshman year with the PAs, you know? So, PAs, that's so Hollywood. TAs.
There
sorry.
You go. Yes.
I was like, yeah, sure. So they stayed with me, came down, showed up at my house, stayed with me for a week, and then I partied with them. I mean, you know how, like normally in college you would sit down and watch, like, ESPN, like, 10 times all morning?
Yeah.
If you got a journalist sitting next to you on the couch and you're in your boxers, you're like, he's like, so this is really what you do? And then you'd be like, no, we drink at 8 a.m. And so I'd go, and we just start drinking. And it was awesome because, like, we would do, but I got him to smoke pot. And he hadn't smoked pot in, like, 12 years. I'm totally ratting him out now. He hadn't smoked pot in, like, 12 years. Like, my wife can't know about this. And I was like, Eric Hedegaard in New York. And he's now a contributing editor at Rolling Stone. He smoked pot. Yeah, that's right, 1997, Sarah, or whatever your name is. And I go, listen, I'm going to tell your wife, I'll call your wife and tell you smoke pot if you told my dad that I was drinking and driving. So, yeah, last time I ever did that. Swear to God.
Which Rolling Stone guy? Yeah. Senior editor.
Actually, well, I wasn't even driving. Someone else was driving, but it was my car.
Whatever.
Yeah, and the Rolling Stone guy. Yeah. So then we
parted up.
Parted up. He left. And then I was like, either writing an article about Florida State. Then they send the photographer guy there, and the photographer is just taking pictures of me the whole time. And I'm thinking, like, I'm going to get in a magazine. This is going to be awesome. Cut to April 1st. I had just come back from the TPC. These are the true parts of the story that aren't interesting that I keep in.
Yeah.
The TPC and saw. And,
what's TPC?
It's a tournament players course, and it's the big golf tournament in Jacksonville Easter weekend.
All right, got it.
So I came back. I get a knock at my door, and it's FedEx, and the phone rings. My dad calls, and he goes...
Same time?
Exact same time. Wow. My dad goes, what did you do? I said, why? He goes, there's news crews camped out in front of our house.
What?
I go, what are you talking about? And he's like, did you... What? And I'm thinking, what did I do in Jacksonville? Like, I know I jumped in a lake, but, like, that didn't make it on air. And so then I opened the FedEx, and it's Rolling Stone, but Beck was on the cover. And I thought, I was like, oh, I'm in Rolling Stone. And then I thought that was me. I was like, I'm on the cover of Rolling Stone, and I look so good. My hair is so hip. How did I don't even remember taking this, but I don't even own a suit. That's so weird. And then I was like, I flipped it open, and I saw it was me in the center, like, it was a big spread, The Undergraduate. And the opening line was, it's taken Bert Kreischer 6.5 years to become the party animal of the United States. I mean, it was like, what the? I was like, Dad, I got to call you back. And then my phone started ringing off the hook for, like, the next month. Australia called. They wanted to talk. It was the most bizarre,
like
surreal.
That moment started going.
And it was before reality television. So that was at a time, that's when I was in college, kids, before reality television.
Imagine that. There was a time.
It exploded. It really turned into this, like, big thing. Everyone came down and did a news piece about me. I did MSNBC. I did via satellite stuff. And then Oliver Stone optioned the rest of my life. And... That's
you became a buddy with O.J. Moore, and I've talked about him in a little while. We're going to take some calls first, okay?
Oh, yes, I love it.
All right, Bert, here's Anna. Anna?
Hi.
Bert's very excited to talk to you.
Anna, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Okay, here's a weird question. I don't know if it's weird, but if you take birth control, does it at all, like, increase the... amount of flatulence one gives?
Big word for an 18-year-old young lady. Flatulence was the word she used.
Yeah.
You know what that means?
Yeah, I know what it means. Okay. How big does my forehead look? How low are my ears, Dr. Drew?
I know what you were doing during those 7 years of college. All right. Yes, any medication can do that to you.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And now, it doesn't necessarily mean that's what's happening, but yes, almost any medication. That's one of the side effects of many different medications.
And pregnant women flatulate.
Pregnant women flatulate, and people with irritable bowel flatulate, and there are other reasons.
My wife was flatulating so much last night, I thought she was going into labor.
Oh, she pregnant?
Oh, she's 9 months pregnant.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and she just started farting on rhythms, like every and then a...
And you, of course, were, like, laughing your ass off.
No, I thought she was going into labor. Oh, and I'm thinking, God. Oh, my God, I've been drinking. I'm going to have to drive her to the airport. That's good. That's kind of dad I am. Okay, Red LAX, what airline are you flying? I'm pregnant. I'm giving birth.
And whatever happened to that kind of humor with Fred Flintstone running out without the wife? What happened to that? That was the day, wasn't
it? Yeah, these days it's, I just took a Xanax. I can't drive. We're going to have to call a car service. Right. Not in the back of my car, my man.
Yeah, so Anna, that could be right. So.
Anna's like,
okay, is there anything I can do or no?
What pill are you taking?
I was on the patch, and now I'm just on Trispringtec.
You're on a patch?
I was for like a year, and then I switched to Trispringtec because the patch is way too expensive.
Now, did you get your money's worth on that?
What?
I don't know. Did you get your money's worth? Did you have enough sex that the patch...
that it paid off? It was worth it.
That you would say, hey, that was...
Yeah, except that I wasn't making... I'm not a prostitute, so I wasn't making any money off it, but...
I don't think that's what Bert meant. He just meant, were you having enough sex to make it worth it while to be on the birth?
It's not like an investment, like
a
website.
I was, but like I said, I'm not bringing in enough money from that to pay for it.
Nor do we encourage you to do that, but here's the deal. When you were on the patch, did you not have this problem?
No, I did have this problem. That's where it all started. And then, the patch just, it was not good times for me, so I got off it and switched to just the Trispringtec, so.
All right, well. It could have something to do with it. There could be other things. Could be your diet. Could be a lot of different things. I mean, it's basically undigested carbohydrates and different kinds of, sort of usually from vegetable and sometimes with spices.
Is that when people say, like, I stopped eating flour and all of a sudden...
And I'm okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they could be that. And that's sort of more an irritable bowel kind of thing. But some people, it depends what the bacteria that populate your colon sort of do with the stuff that gets down there. So it's the undigested stuff that ends in the colon. The bacteria work on it, turn to methane and sulfur.
Have you ever had to do a colon exam? Or a prostate? Is that the same thing?
All the time.
Do you see
I'm an internist. I do it all the time.
Are you serious?
All the time.
Let me see your hands.
I did.
That's not that bad.
No, my finger's not that big. And I did.
You'd hate to have Shaq come in and do your prostate.
No, that'd be cool.
I guess six, not seven.
Good.
And he's like, he doesn't even have rubber gloves. He has to put on a Glad bag. Yeah, that would be horrible.
Trash bag.
Yeah.
And I used to do colonoscopies and sigmoidoscopies, that kind of stuff. Here is Ashley.
Or Ashley.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
We could get an extra hour of airtime if we could just cut that. Hello. Hi. You could just cut that out.
Yeah.
You got to be on top of it, people. When you hear Drew's voice, that soothing, hello, Ashley, then you just go. It's go.
Yeah.
It's go time.
As soon as you hear your name and my voice, you are on the air. I'm not talking to people off the air, okay? I don't get on before you get on the air, while I'm on the air, and say, in a second, I'll be talking to you on the air, so get ready. And, hi, Ashley, okay, hang on, bear with you. You ever heard me do that?
Never.
Anybody?
No. Never.
Okay. When you hear your name, my voice, you're on the air, okay?
Let's try it. Ready?
And Ashley.
Hey, I have a question.
Hey, well done. What's that?
I have a question about female ejaculation.
Yeah, Bert's here.
Go ahead, Ashley.
So, I heard that some girls can come and some girls can't. And then I thought I was one that couldn't. But a while ago, I was having sex with my boyfriend, and I came. And then when we repeat the same thing, it doesn't happen anymore. Is that normal, or...
So you had an ejaculation of some type.
Yeah.
Again, you're funny that people want to use that coming word.
Yeah.
I know, it's kind of gross.
That's so disgusting.
That's a bad word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, women, either they can have an orgasm with or without ejaculation.
Women can ejaculate?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
They squirt. Oh, come
are
on.
What do you mean, oh, come on?
You're the party man of the century.
I wasn't the sex king of the century. I've had sex with
women,
eight girls total.
Some women will produce a tremendous amount of fluid in orgasm. Some of that is urine. Sometimes they have female ejaculate incontinence, orgasmic incontinence, they call that. Rare.
So, but...
Most of them have, these are glandular outputs, and they can really, they can destroy a room. They can really put out quite a bit of fluid.
I've watched a lot of porn. I've never seen that.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's out there. Go online, look it up, whatever. There's something for everybody out there. Oh, Anderson just rang in and said, oh, tons of sites. That was Anderson.
In Westwood?
Yeah. So, Anderson, why don't you email Bert some of the information?
Yes, please.
Yeah, there are women that just can produce a tremendous amount of fluid during orgasm.
Wow.
And some women do that every time. Some women have done it, like, once in their life. And like Ashley, she sort of has now discovered it but can't get it back. And that's usually the case, Ashley, is that it sort of happens sometimes. And I've interviewed a lot of women about this. Sometimes it's when they have an intense orgasm. Sometimes it isn't. It's just hitting a certain spot.
That's
and
so
it's
insane.
Hard for them. It's hard to find that and repeat the procedure.
Now, does that make you uncomfortable, Ashley?
Uncomfortable?
Does that
no.
make you, like, is it...
Because a lot of women feel ashamed of it. They don't talk about it.
Oh, I think I would...
You're surprised. But you're actually... Bert is naive to this. He's never heard of it before. So let's say you were having sex with a woman and...
Okay.
How would you react? What would you think?
Oh, my God. Like, you've ever seen James Dean with that oil? I'm thinking... I don't know. I would probably make her feel uncomfortable because I would be so impressed...
So excited.
...that I wouldn't be, like, so sensitive guy.
No, so excited that you had made
like,
a woman
I
do
that. I'd be on the phone with people.
Yeah.
You're never going to believe what happened. And they'd be like, are you serious? And go, hang on, let me get my camera phone. Honey, we got to see if we can do that again. I would never... No,
you'd
that freaks you out.
You'd be so excited, right?
I'd be so excited. But my excitement doesn't correlate with, like, the same cuddling
saying, most of these women call up and go, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. I don't want a guy. I hold back because I don't want this to happen. I'm like, are you kidding? Guys will stand up to a touchdown dance right there in the room.
Are you? Oh, you know how awesome that would be? I would be like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So Ashley, but in Ashley's case, she's sort of impressed that she was able to do it. She was kind of looking to.
You should take video, Ashley.
So I don't know, Ashley, it's just going to probably come with time, so to speak, how you're able to sort of master this. It's probably going to be one of those things that kind of comes and goes sometimes.
Oh, again with the pun.
I beg your pardon.
Look at this. Do another pun.
What's
ejaculator.
Your what?
Is it something that can be mastered, or...
I have not found that women that can really reliably reproduce it. They can kind of, but it's something that's sort of, it's a difficult thing to reproduce, most women that I've spoken to. Okay?
Okay.
Unless you're one of those that just did it every time, and that's not you. You're not that one.
Yeah.
Which is probably better for you, because the women do it every time. it kind of gets old for them, you know, putting down the tarps and the towels and everything. Oh, yeah.
Are you serious?
They start to complain about it in the longer term relationship.
I've got to see this online.
So, you'll look it up.
Are you? Oh, if you can pull something up, let me see it.
All right, Archie, thanks for your call. This is Natalie.
Natalie.
Yes.
Hey there, what's happening?
Not a whole lot. Okay, little background history. My brother was on a Little League team with, obviously, a bunch of guys. One he was really close to, I'm a hairdresser now, and I cut his hair. He came to me, and I was cutting his hair, and he has this new girlfriend. And
Stop. You said you started with something about a Little League team?
Yeah, this backstory is confusing.
I'm sorry.
How old is this kid?
I've grown up around this family.
All right, so you knew him since
this sounds like a, this sounds like an Oliver Stone movie. Like,
okay,
go ahead.
You've known him since he was a child. Now you're cutting his hair. He's an adult.
Yeah.
He's your age.
No, he's about
5 years younger.
I don't know. He's probably like 18 now.
Got it. All right, and you're cutting his hair, and he says to me,
he has this new girlfriend, and for some reason, he's afraid that her ex-boyfriend is going to rape her.
Okay.
And he asked me if I could pay my boyfriend to somehow, like, scare her in public to prove that she needs protection, that he needs to be there to protect her. And
your boyfriend, that this kid needs to be around to protect her?
Yeah.
Nellie.
He said, I don't know, he wanted...
He sounds like a troubled kid.
My boyfriend to scare her in public to prove.
Obviously, it's just talk.
Yeah.
The emotion he's going through right now is one that I think a lot of guys go through, and I think a lot of women should honestly listen to. Is you do not know men.
Right.
I hate when my wife will start yelling at some guy that cut her off. Yeah. We're in Target the other day, and this guy cuts in front of her. Just cuts in front of her. He wants to go in front of her.
Like in walking?
No, in the car. Just in a little porch. Okay, pulls in front of her. And she starts laying on the horn and honking and doing the lights, and I'm thinking, you've never been punched in the face. That's why you have no problem. I've been punched in the face, and I know I don't like it, and I should punch you in the face so you know what that feels like, so you know the repercussions of honking at some strange guy who's clearly got issues.
Yes.
He cut in front of you. Look,
right.
He's really pulling up this squirting thing.
Okay.
You're really pulling it up. I didn't thought this was a lie. I thought that was a fake caller. So I understand what the emotion he's going through, but that's why get your boyfriend in trouble.
Yeah, this kid has got issues. This is one of the guys that pulled in front of you in the Target. He's got issues. You stay away from him.
Yeah.
He's looking for trouble. I don't know why he's getting... I can think of 100 things that could be going wrong here, none of which should you be involved with in any way. Okay?
Okay. I guess my main question is my family's really close with his family, and I don't know if I should say something to his parents or if there's anything I can do to help him in this situation.
Yeah, who is close in the two families? Like the mom close, that kind of thing?
Well, he's really good friends with my brother. Our moms go out to breakfast like every Monday morning.
Tell your mom what he says.
Oh, you're asking for a world of hate.
Yeah, but
why get the families involved?
By and large, I kind of agree with Bert. To stay out of it completely is probably the best thing.
Mothers never hear negative news about their son.
Right. It's going to be Natalie's problem.
And then you turn into the one who started this whole fire.
Right, you're right.
And then you get kicked off the island.
Unless you think that there's something going on with this kid, that he's paranoid or doing drugs or something. I mean, really, I'm thinking speed all the way here. That's one of the things that makes people think like that. It's just disturbed thinking. And if you're worried that something's really going on, you have some... What's that?
I guess more than anything, I just needed confirmation that...
Do you know he's doing
stay
speed?
Out of it, but, you know, it's going to be awkward next time he calls me.
Well, do you know that he's doing speed?
I don't know if he's doing anything.
Okay.
Honestly, she was a real prize winner herself. I mean...
Right. Yeah.
But,
just stay away from him.
All right, yeah, stay out of it completely. This is David, who wants to fill you in, Bert. He wants to educate you, bring you along.
Please, David.
David, 19.
What are you going to tell a 33-year-old man, 19-year-old?
A what?
Go ahead, David. Go ahead.
Sorry, David.
Bring him
go
along.
Go ahead.
I just want to say that, the squirting thing, girls can destroy rooms with it. There's this girl online called Cytheria.
Quick, type it in. That website's going to lock up. Go there now. How do you spell it, David?
C-Y-T-H... Cyberia. Cyberia.
Well, I like he's looking at that site right now, reading it off the screen.
Do you know how much Googling you have to do to find a site named Cytheria?
Yeah.
I mean, and how stupid is she? She's going to call her site. I was worried calling my site burt.com because I was like, what if it's B-U-R-T? What if it's B-E-R-T? They'll never figure it out. Cytheria?
Just call it Cytheria. Be fine. Well, now you would have been great with Cytheria, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I mean, tell me about it. She's on there.
Yeah.
Is that her?
And she just, she looks like she goes into seizures when she does it. I don't know how to explain it.
You know how awkward that would be the first time you had sex with her, and then she's going, hur, hur, hur. You're like, quick, get some cheese, hold her tongue.
Exactly.
She's ruining my drapes. Cytheria, stop it. Clear.
She's unstoppable.
All right. Double. We got the site loaded, David. Thank you.
David, thank you for bringing Bert along. He's a better man for it. Lindsay.
Yes. Hi, guys. How are you?
We're good.
I actually called 2 weeks ago when Tom was in, and I have something kind of deals with one of the questions I asked you. Whenever I have sex with my boyfriend, certain times he tells me that it gets super tight and it gets really hot, almost like it burns, like hot water burning his dick. And I was just wondering if that has to do with my body temperature.
Finishing school?
What was that?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Nothing. All right.
And I wanted to know what that came from, if that's me or if I can control it, because it says it feels good.
No, but forget about it feeling good. That just means there's excessive friction there. That's what the heat is.
Okay.
That's from the clamping down. I remember your call. You had this sort of mid-sex vaginismus or something, right?
Vaginismus.
Yeah, it's a clamping down of the muscles in the pelvic.
So that's just like.
I remember you were saying she was afraid, as I remember Lindsay was concerned that he was going to get like caught, like the way dogs get.
like a Chinese finger trap?
That's what he said. He called it a Chinese
trap. That would make going to work awkward the next day. Guys, I'd like to introduce you to my girlfriend. Things have kind of seized up, if you know what I mean.
Oh,
honey, take a left. And we're going to be going upstairs. You're going to be going. It's like you guys are moving into an apartment. You're walking up backwards and he's walking up.
But can I control that at all?
Let's hope so. Oh, my God. You know what? Don't do anything. Let's just see what happens. And if it does, I don't want to laugh at your problem.
Oh, God. Hello?
We're still here. We just can't breathe right now. This is... Drew, you want to finish this off? I'm sorry, Lindsay. This is a serious thing.
It's okay. No.
No.
I laugh at it,
too. I'm going to pass out. I'm getting dizzy right now. I'm getting dizzy. I'm seriously getting dizzy. I got to breathe. I'm getting dizzy. I just lost them. Oh, my gosh. Wow, Lindsay. No, I want to. Where do you live?
Agora Hills.
We've really brought you along here, Bert.
I was just in Agora Hills today. I'm going to be in Agora Hills soon.
You can visit her. And I'm just saying, Bert, we brought him along quite a ways tonight, gentlemen. We've got him into the Chinese finger trap version of vaginismus. We've got the squirting issue. It's all in one 20-minute show of love. No wonder you like doing this show, Bert.
Yeah, let's just get out of here. Play some music. We're giving him a show.
We're going to Agora.
Yeah, I'm going to Agora Hills. I gotta get on the 101, 37 miles.
Okay. Now, Lindsay, I recall, Anderson will be on in just a minute here. I had trouble with your call last time because it was so peculiar that it was mid-activity that you had this spasming, right?
No. Last time I called, I was talking to you about how I can't wear a condom. For some reason, whenever you put the condom on, I get really dry.
All right. That's
and
right.
I was asking about the G-spot and and everything.
But here's the deal. When you have vaginismus at the beginning of sex, that's kind of normal, and that's usually an anxiety thing. If you get it at the end, that means you've kind of been going too long, and you're getting irritation, you're kind of seizing up. In the middle, right there, you're like after 5 minutes or so, you're okay.
Drew's fanning himself with his board.
Gil, the engineer, just passed out.
Yeah.
And that's the one that I have trouble, you know, really coaching people on what they should be doing, because it's hard. I would consult with a gynecologist on that one, because that's a hard one to treat, and it's not really clear what's causing that. And that's sort of what you're describing there, Lindsay, is the fact that his penis gets hot is because of all that friction that he's spasming. And you know, just the way you get out of a Chinese finger track, you kind of...
you got to push back in slowly, and then just start going out. You can't pull it apart. You're never going to separate pulling harder, harder.
Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. This is Bert Kreischer, the number one party animal in the country. We're going to hear about the machine story when we get back.
If I can remember it.
Bert in Russia. I just want you to just imagine that. Hurt Bert's premiering on FX in July.
No, that's canceled.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. That was July 2004.
Oh, that was the one we saw online.
That was me getting...
Where do you get that?
BertBertBert.com. Barry. BertBertBert.com. You can watch me get mauled by a bull and get my ass waxed. That's my opus. If you want to... I swear to God, if you want to laugh, go down to my video, at BertBertBert with an E, .com, and watch the ass wax video. It is my opus. And I promise you, you'll laugh so much that you'll probably email me and go, thank you.
And come back. We'll be back in 4 minutes on Loveline. There we go. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Bert Kreischer, who's a better man for the last 20 minutes on the air here.
Behind my knees are sweating. Like, because I was sitting in a chair and I was laughing so hard, I started sweating, and behind my knees are sweating.
And then you started to be almost passed out.
I almost passed out. How awkward that have been if I had passed out and you just unconscious and you had to revive me, give me mouth to mouth. Oh, I guess you don't do that for just unconscious.
Well, if you stop breathing unconscious, that would...
Have you ever given a dude mouth to mouth?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, now, you know, I even did it before the days that they had those things that
those
you
lay with.
Yeah, the mask.
I got to take one of those classes, those how to get a, not stop a baby from choking.
Yeah, yeah, you do. Yeah.
Sorry.
Anyway.
sometimes it's like a non sequitur, like a thing that it's a thought that I say out loud.
All right. Now, one thing I was searching for last time on the bio they sent me here is that you've got Tuesday nights at the Irvine Improv. Every Tuesday, were there two shows?
One show.
10 o'clock?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. Got everything 8
o'clock.
Wrong.
8
o'clock,
show.
Irvine Improv. You want to see more Bert, more stories, more craziness.
Every Tuesday in July and June, not 4th of July, Jay Moore and I are flying to Hawaii with Alonzo Bowden to perform for the troops.
Oh, great.
Yeah. It's so weird because I go, oh, Mom, I'm going to perform for the troops. And everyone's like,
she
really?
She freaked out Iraq.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's like, really? That's going to be crazy. I'm like, oh, no. I'm going to go kiteboarding. I'm going to go surfing, have some margaritas by the pool. She's like, where are you going? I'm like, oh, Pearl Harbor.
Oh.
So.
And that you're missing a Tuesday in July because of that, or doing that in August?
That's in what?
You're going to be in the Irvine Improv on
Tuesday. Every Tuesday in July, but I think that's like July 4th is on a Tuesday.
I see. That's when you're
so we're not there then, but I think the show room's closed.
Okay, fair enough.
But and it's Jay's show. Jay Moore hosts.
He hosts
and does more time. You know, people originally were like, this stinks because he's hosting, and I want to see him last.
Yeah.
But what he does is he sets it up so it's like all fantastic comics, like Alonzo Bowden, K.P. Anderson, who's the head writer of The Soup.
Wow.
He's the executive producer of The Soup, was the executive producer of More Sports. I mean, he's a fantastic comic.
Wow.
Hilarious. And it's always fantastic comics. And Jay ends up doing like 2 hours. Like, yeah, he ends up doing more time because he's hosting. It's only 3 comics, and he just fills. And we only do like 20 minutes each.
Wow.
So okay. It's a great show.
Tuesday Improv. Now, something they may or may not get to hear there is a story I'd like you to tell us now about what happened to you in Russia.
Okay. Well, feel free to jump in if I forget something.
All right.
Because I haven't told that story in like 5 years.
You just told it like a month ago on this show.
I know, but that was the first time. Surprised it was so funny.
All right.
Okay. I went to Russia in college because I was going to taking Russian classes. I thought they were Spanish classes. Found out there was a new alphabet, and I was like, wow, that doesn't look like Spanish. I've never heard of it. But the teacher was hot, so I was like, I might as well take it. So I take her class the whole time, passing, barely passing. And so then I go to, turns out I go to Russia, and they're like, you know, we need like 22 students, and if you went, that would make the trip. And I'm like, okay, but I don't really know Russian that good. Like, I didn't know Russian at all. I didn't even know the alphabet, honestly. I could barely speak a little Russian. I still have dreams in Russian, but it was like I didn't know what they were saying around me. Like, I was like, what are these guys talking about?
Interesting.
Are they going to kill me? So I go to Russia, and when you go to Russia, there's a fact back then.
Still now, probably.
Probably still now, is that the mob runs everything. Yeah. You have to pay off the mob. So our school, everyone chipped in an extra $500,000 to pay off the mob, so they'd give you two what they call banditos, and they'd hang out with you the whole trip to make sure that no one shook you down, tried to steal from you, rob you, hurt you, because these were the two guys in the St. Petersburg Mafia who knew everyone. So if there's ever a problem, they'd... But the thing, Dr. Lawner, what he said to us is, listen, they're in the mob.
So. This is not the hot chick anymore. Now you go with some other...
No, this, he's the head of the whole Russian apartment. Okay. She's there. She's Kendra. She was a blast. She was a... Oh, she's so much fun. She was like my... She ended up partying with me, too. So she goes... So he goes, listen, they're in the mob. So you're college kids. These are Russian gangsters. Do not talk to them. Do not look at them. Let them do their thing. You know,
don't make eye contact.
Don't make eye contact. They're staying on our floor. They're staying in the last room. And just serendipitously, my room was right next to their room. So the first night, I get a six-pack of Baltica 5, get a bottle of vodka, get a lime. I knock on their door, and then these two gangsters smoking in their purple jackets with their black. I mean, they're just gangsters. They open the door, and they're like, "Shto?" And I was like, and I was a little, but I had practiced it all day. And so I said, "My name is Bert."
In Russian.
In Russian. But it came out. "Hello, I am a machine."
That's how it came out?
It came out, "Hello, I am a machine." And they lost it. They thought it was the funniest thing in the world. So all night long, I don't know what they're saying, but they keep saying, as we're drinking, what I think is, "Hey, my name's Bert. Hey, my name's Bert." So like, "He's a machine. He's a machine." And it turned into a huge joke, and they thought it was hilarious. And that night, I told them how to turn things into slangs, like...
English
like,
slangs or...
English slangs, like, yeah. And they thought it was hilarious, like the...
And they're drinking vodka with them.
Oh, partying. So
twirling their revolvers and stuff.
And we did crazy stuff. You can do crazy stuff in Russia.
If you're in the mafia.
Well, if you're with the mafia.
Yeah, yeah.
They loved me. There was me, them, and this guy, John Bolshoi, which is Big John. He was a big American. They liked him because John Bolshoi, that was Big John in Russian. So midway through our stay, Igor and Sasha and I are best friends, right? Best friends. And they're taking me to do stuff that none of the kids are seeing in Russia. None of them. So then we have to go to Moscow, and they go, "Listen, we're going to..."
Take a train.
They tell us this. They go, "When we put you on the train, we got to give you to the mafia that runs a train, and they're going to have two banditos there. The friends of ours are cool. And when you get to Russia, you'll..."
They were saying all this in Russian? You can understand?
No. They spoke kind of English. Okay. And John Bolshoi spoke excellent Russian.
Okay, so he was all right. Good.
Excellent Russian. Right. So, and I'm kind of learning. Learning.
Wow.
I was at the Great Bear
World. Finally, college kicks in.
So that we take us to the train, and they introduce us to the two gangsters there. It's Igor and Igor. That's their two names, right? Igor and Igor. So how are you going to mess that up? They go, "Igor and Igor, this is the machine." And they go, "Machine, you stay with us. You stay with us. All our kids are sitting in the coach, on first class, with the two gangsters in the biggest. It's like the one that the prince of Russia used to ride." Probably not, but I don't even know if they had a prince. But we're sitting in the big one. The guy driving, the conductor of the train, midway through the trip, comes back, rips off the tag on his sleeve, his little conductor, like, badge, gives it to me, gives John Bolshoi his hat, and says, "This is an honor to meet you guys."
Cool.
Yeah, right? The mob's been talking about us all week. These are the boys. This is the part I didn't tell you last time. True story. I told you we committed atrocities on that train.
Yes, what'd you do?
We totally did.
What'd you do?
They go, "Come on, we're out of vodka. We drank all the vodka and all the beer," and they go, "Let's go back to the cart, and we'll get something to drink." And so I go, "Okay." So John Bolshoi and I, the two gangsters, Igor and Igor, walk back. We walk into the cart, and as soon as we walk in, it gets silent. Everyone knows the two gangsters that run the train step in. And the guy says to me, "Machine, go behind bar, get bread." And he said it in Russian, and I learned it. I go, "I know, Kleb, Kleb, that's bread." And he goes, "Get cheese, sir." I go, "Sir, he said cheese." I'm looking at John Bolshoi. I'm going, "He said cheese. I'm understanding Russian." And then he goes, "Get the money." And I go, "Johnny," he said, "what is that one? I don't know." And I look, he's talking about the tip jar. Everyone's standing up against the walls, and these guys are taking this guy's tips. We're robbing the train. Oh. So I grab the tips, and I'm like, "Okay." And they're like, "Grab the vodka." And so we just start robbing this thing for, like, all looting it. Oh. We take it back to the cart, and it's now a totally different energy. Like, it's like a little more angry drunk. And then they're like, "Come on, let's start breaking into..." We're just going to start breaking into things. I'm like, so John and I are along for the ride. You can't say no to the Russian mob all night long. This is like a 15-hour train ride. All night long, we're walking with these guys like, "John, we got to get out of here." We land in Moscow, and they had broken into some of the kids on our trip. They had broken into their rooms, stolen their cameras. And yeah, I know. I felt horrible, but what am I going to do? I don't want to get whacked in Moscow in the middle of Siberia. I don't even know. That's how bad I'm American. So we get to the train station. We stop. We get at the platform. Dr. Lawner, the guy running the trip, comes up to me and goes, this is bad. This is really bad. They've called the cops. The cops are waiting on the platform. I can't help you. you have committed crimes in Russia in a different land. I told you not to speak to those guys. I can do nothing. And I'm like, just translate. Tell them something. And he goes, I'll do the best I can. So he walks up to the cops. The cops are waiting for us. Some of our classmates are crying. I'm crying. I'm terrified. The two gangsters are still drinking. And he talks to the cops. And the cops are yelling at Dr. Lawner. And he looks at me and raises his hand. I can't do anything. So they call the gangsters over. And the gangsters talk. And they're kind of arguing. And then all of a sudden, the cops point to me. And they say, come over. So I walk over to the two gangsters sitting with the cops. I look at the cops. I'm thinking, I'm going to the gulag for 10 years. And they go, so, you're the machine. And I said, yeah. And they go, this week you party with us.
Oh, the police.
And so I party for a whole week with two cops in a cop car. You want to talk about fun in a different city? You go out with a lawless community, and you drive. I drove the cop car. We went to a strip club, and they were like, you drive. And I'm like, John Bolshoi, I don't want to drive a cop car. He's like, you drive the cop car. I'm like, oh, can I turn on the... It was insane. Insane for the whole week in Moscow.
Oh my God.
Yeah, everyone's going to museums. I'm partying with two cops and two gangsters in a cop car. But that was Russia was like a place. This is the day I knew Russia was different. Is we got there and they had a, you know, how in like America you'll see a gate that says no entrance or no admittance without pass.
Right.
In Russia, the sign just says no.
Just no.
Whatever you're thinking, no. I know you're thinking something, no. And I was like, wow, this is a different kind of place.
But for these guys you're with, everything is...
Oh, everything's yes. Yeah, everything's, it's a random opportunity. It's like the Wild West. I'm telling you, it's a blast. You go to Russia, yeah. You will have a blast. Well,
yeah, you have to hang out with the mob.
If you see a guy in a purple jacket, just go up and say, I'm the machine.
And I know the machine.
Yeah, I know. I'm friends machine. With the machine.
The machine. I spent the evening with the machine before. Yeah. All right, Sam, what's up?
Hi.
Okay. Oh, no. We're not going to let that... You got to... When you hear my voice, you hear your name, you talk. Jack.
Sam, though.
Hey, Jack.
Yeah, how's it going, Dr. Drew?
Good. What's
up, Jack?
Yeah, man. First of all, that was kind of a long Russian story, man. That's kind of crazy. I actually had a similar experience in Germany, but that's a whole other story. But yeah.
Traveling abroad, right. Man, if you haven't done it, do it. Americans were horrible.
Exactly, right. Bro. I feel it. But, yeah, I'm from the Bay Area, and my girlfriend, she likes to fizz a lot. She goes 18s. You guys know what that means?
Fizzle?
She likes to do ecstasy. And so she actually brought up the proposition of doing a threesome with another female. And I don't know about you, Dr.
Hold on. Catch up on the lingo here. She likes to what a lot?
Fizzle? Did he just hang up?
He just hung up on us.
It's a prank caller.
Whatever. Mariah.
I love it.
Hello, Dr. Jew.
Hey, what's up?
Hello, Mariah.
Hey, long-time listener, first-time caller. Okay, I'm calling because my mom, she has been diagnosed with this disease called fibromyalgia. I'm not sure if you're...
I know, deal with it all the time.
Okay. Well, like, it's been about 2 years now, and she's been really addicted to, like, painkillers like Percocet and, you know, whatever.
Fibromyalgia many times is caused by the opiates. So she's an opiate addict. That needs to be treated. There's nothing they can do with her fibromyalgia pain on all those opiates.
Yeah. Okay. Well, see, not only has she been doing that, it's been affecting, like, our relationship so badly that I moved out with my grandmother. Mm. And, you know, they have conflicts going on, and it's bouncing off on me. And I was just asking, I'm calling in to ask, how can I, you know, tell my mom, you know, to get help and stuff, you know, without her, you know, seeing me as her daughter, you know? I'm telling her for all.
There's really only a couple ways you can deal with this. You're 15. You're not the parent. Your mom is an adult. You could tip off the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And tell him or her how this is affecting you, number one. Number two, you could gather family members together and do some sort of intervention, either informally or formally. And then finally, you can go to Allatine and get some codependency treatment, and that may help you learn how to manage her better.
All right.
Those are your three options, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
Good luck,
Mariah.
All right.
Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Take another quick call here. Sam?
Yep.
What's up, buddy?
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey there.
I'm noticing some skin discoloration in my penis. And
have you been messing with it a lot, Sam?
No,
and I'm saying this, like, did you have a one-night stand, and then you started going, hey, maybe I should take a look at this guy. I haven't looked at him in a while, and I didn't wear a condom. And then you started playing with it a lot, and then you've been, like, OCD, looking at it nonstop, and now it's stressing you out, so you're looking at it every time you go to the bathroom?
I know it's not a STD, and I
He's not answering your question. There are guys that do that, guys that start... It's a funny thing men get into when they start obsessing about their genitalia. They really start obsessing. You've done that, yeah.
Oh, bad.
Yeah.
Not really. It's. I mean, I'm not like freaking out or anything.
All right, do you have bruises anywhere else?
No. They're just like little round spots, like they're just kind of light in color, like some are on the tip and a couple of them on the underneath the on the undershaft. And I was just wondering,
bruises aren't light; they're dark by definition.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not light; they're just hard to notice, I guess. And I was just wondering if that could be caused from too much masturbation or.
Does it look like the beginning of a hair follicle?
No, it's kind of it's a little bit bigger than that, and some are on the tip of the penis, which I don't.
And think you have nothing like that anywhere else in your skin, anywhere else in your body.
No, not really.
Easy bruising is a pretty serious sign. If you have bruising, you know, on your legs or your arms and on your penis, that would be something you want to see your doctor about right away.
Yeah,
easy bruising.
I don't know if it's probably not bruising. They just kind of look like moles, I guess.
Oh, are they black? Like really dark?
Yeah, some of them are really dark, and then the other ones that are on my head. There's a couple of them, and
on your head,
kind
of on the head of the penis, or your head where your hair grows.
Yeah, the head of my penis, and I think they might even be a little lighter in shade of a brown color.
All right, listen, Ms. Sam, please, go see a dermatologist. One thing I've learned about our callers, they cannot describe skin lesions. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I got this thing, and it's sort of a thing, and it's kind of here and here, and it's light, and it's dark, but it's round, and it's little, but it's kind of big. It's like, okay, you don't have the vocabulary to describe these things. I'm sorry. I wish I could help, but never has one of our callers been able to accurately describe a skin problem.
Yeah.
So, see a dermatologist. It doesn't sound specific like something you should be alarmed about, but I can't tell what it is, so have somebody actually look at it. Ooh. Phone number here, 1-800-LOVE-191. Our guest is Bert Kreischer. Tuesday night at the Irvine Improv. You can also check out Bert. Well, now they go BertEntertainment.com.
I have never updated anything. So BertBert.com.
And see him get gored by a bull.
My ass waxed.
Get his ass waxed, his opus.
My opus.
Opus Magnus, as he calls it.
I didn't know that was what Mr. Holland's opus was. I thought it was a penguin for some reason.
Nice.
Like, I was like, Mr. Holland's got a
opus
penguin?
Was that cartoon.
Was that what it was? I don't know why. It's just like sometimes that thing
opus
just...
kind of weird-looking penguin-y thing. Yeah,
it like infiltrates your brain, then you think that when you hear that.
Yes.
Well, whatever.
We'll be right back after this.
Make new friends tonight by sending a text message with the word Loveline in it to 55463. That's Loveline Mobile, the newest, freshest way to meet new people.
Everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Bert Kreischer in here making me cry.
This show so much.
We're going to quickly talk to Allison here. What's up, Allison?
What's up, Allison?
Hi. My question is, I'll start from the beginning. Why is it so hard for guys to go down on girls, and girls don't really usually have as much of a problem to go down on guys? And I heard...
Well,
Dr.
Yes.
Say the other day, I heard a recording of it, that like you kind of compared, I'm not quite sure exactly word from word what it is, but you compared it going down on a guy is like sticking your face in like a bowl full of sausage, going down on a girl is like sticking it in a fish, but...
No. What I actually said was, I was quoting the great Adam Carolla, and I said, the guy doing this to a guy is more like... chowing down on a churro or something.
Yeah.
And for a guy doing that to a girl, it's more like burying his face in an abalone.
Oh.
Did that just air? Oh, God.
You can say that.
Or an open wound. That's what I heard in my headset, and I was like, did they all just hear that?
No, abalone, I think, is a closer...
You
ever seen the bottom of an abalone?
I don't even know what an abalone is, so yes, I think you're right. I don't even know what an abalone is. That's perfect. That's a perfect analogy.
It's one of those shellfish that has a big foot that sucks down.
Shellfish is a great... Yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to do. If they put an abalone on my plate, I go, maybe I'll just put my penis in it.
Uncooked abalone.
Raw
abalone. Live abalone. So anyway, and open wound, he also used to say. So.
Yeah, I've been doing it wrong for 33 years. Well, not 33. I wasn't doing it when I was young, but
32.
15.
And I'm sorry, but I do have to say, just for the double standard that is out there, that, like, it's really gross to go down on girls.
It's not gross.
It's not gross.
It's not gross. No. It's just, it's confusing for men. Men think, I just finished telling somebody this, men, young males particularly, think of a female as an inside-out penis. That's really what they think they're dealing with.
Yeah.
And they have no other concept of what
that
thing
so
is. Right?
Look, yeah.
Isn't that right?
When I first, this is what guys go through. When I first, how do you say doing this to a girl?
the hand, you know, like stimulating her with the, with your. Well, they call it.
I'm doing charades right here to Dr. Drew.
Our callers,
go ahead, and I'm making eye contact with
them. Our callers call it finger banging. On this
show. Can you say that?
That's what our callers call it. Yes.
Okay. Good. Good. So the first time I ever fingered a girl,
blasted. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I didn't know you were supposed to do anything with your finger. I thought you just put it in and then left it there like you're taking her temperature or something.
Right, because if
no one had told me that there was, and so I just put it in, stared her in the eyes, like, how you like that? And she's like, and I'm like 13 going, here we go. And then my brain goes, huh, how long should we leave this in? And I'm like, we'll leave it to the second act of the movie. How's that? And then you take it out and you, you're done. Yeah. Ooh, you got 98.8. You're going to school today. No, and then the first time, I swear to God, my wife right now is listening, and she's saying, tell them what you thought of, can you say the
oral, oral sex?
Yeah, but can you say the brutal?
What are you trying to say?
What would BJ?
Yes, you can say that, BJ.
BJ, can you say what it stands for?
No.
Okay, well, everyone knows what it stands for. So I thought there would be some sort of blowing involved, like a...
Yes.
I swear to God. I didn't have, like, older brothers or anything, so when the first time I got it, I'm like, I think she's doing it wrong. And then I was like, oh, God, no, she's doing it right. Oh, you're wrong, Bert. Just shut up. Stop thinking. But I didn't know. And so the first time I went down on a girl, I had no clue.
Yes.
Nope. If I hadn't heard Sam Kinison say, lick the alphabet, I would, what I did. A, B, C.
Oh, my God.
But I didn't know. 33 years old. I just found out this year how to do it.
All right,
just
hold on. With that thought, we got to take a quick break. Bert will tell us what he's learned.
Oh, great.
This year, as a 33
year old. I'm going to mess up every 14-year-old boy out there.
And if there's a problem, your wife can sort of set you straight when you get home. We'll be right back after this. Everybody, it's Love Line. Bert Kreischer in here with us tonight. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Jay Moore, call us. We gave you that phone number. Give us a buzz. You stood us up a couple times.
Call us while you're walking Shirley tonight.
Make it good. And you were going to tell us about your first experience having oral sex with a female.
Oh, no, this isn't oral. This is real sex.
Oh.
Do you want to hear that? We were talking oral. I don't want to switch, you know. First time I had sex, 17 years old. And a lot of guys will go through this, so I want to make sure that, because I was traumatized by this event. I'm sure there's a word for it. I don't know what it was. I just called it ashamed.
Premature ejaculation
rectile. I redefine that, Drew.
Erectile failure.
Oh, I don't even know if it's okay. Here we go. Erectile 17 years old. Right. I get the girl in, you know, the throw her in the bedroom and do all the sexy stuff, like sexy stuff. I stripped her naked. I still had all my clothes on. It was like she was getting strip searched in the airport. I had her totally naked on the bed. I still got my shoes on, my hat on. Yeah, and then so I dropped my pants to my knees like every good 17-year-old boy, you know. Man, why take my shirt off? It's cold in here. So I grabbed a condom. I'd never seen a condom before. I never used one. Uh-oh. You know, no one puts condoms on when they're 13, like, oh, that looks good.
They should masturbate with them on to practice putting them on, too, so they don't have to, like, fumble with them.
Wholeheartedly agree.
Thank you.
This was my first time ever seeing one, so I'd seen them on TV.
Right.
So I opened it up, and I looked at it, and it was rolled up, and I was like, huh. Now I'm a 17-year-old boy, so I'm thinking, my mom rolls my socks up, and I unroll those to put them on.
Oh, boy.
That's how you put on a condom.
Oh.
So I start this girl's naked on the bed, and I'm sitting there, pants on my knees, and I start unrolling this condom all the way, and I was like, that's big. I'll roll it back up a little bit. I take it at the base of it, and I go to slide it over my, to, like, put it on. But there's air trapped in there. So as I slide, it inflates like a balloon. And I'm thinking, how do I get this air out? Like, I'll squeeze it. And the condom's just popping like I'm making balloon animals. Like, and I'm thinking, oh, great. I hope she likes giraffes. You know, like, this is nice. So I'm squeezing the air. She's still moaning, like, what are you doing? And I'm like, nothing. Condom's broken. So I go running out to my buddy Hartley. I'm like, Hartley, I need another condom. He's like, that was fast. I was like, I didn't have sex yet. And he's like, what? I was like, I'll tell you later. Give me another condom. So he gives me a condom, and so another one. So I go in, I figure it out. Now it starts to make sense. Words like reservoir tip.
Yes.
You know, like, you start going, here we go. I should have done this beforehand by myself. So I squeeze it. I roll it down. I'm like, perfect. It was a warning. When I rolled it down, I thought, that feels really good.
Uh-oh.
And already, right? I'm already, because I'm so excited. I'm so built up. I got, you know, it's like I'm ready to go on stage. I do that gentle get on top of her
and
like, you know, the eyes contact thing where you go, are you ready? for that. Like, I don't know what you say when you're 17. Like, oh, you're really sexy. I don't know. It's just awkward. Your arms are trembling. Your butt's shaking. And so I go and I gently do insertion. I swear to God, this is real time. You ready? And I collapse onto her body, and she, in the softest, most gentle whisper, goes, "Are you gonna put it in?" And I go cold. And I look down, and I am between her butt cheek and the bed, and I didn't even lose my virginity. I'm thinking to myself, I could have done this at home. I didn't need to get a girl involved in this. Like, how horrible is this? That's my first time. That's my first time, right? Technically, I'm still a virgin. Technically. On paper, I'm still a virgin.
10 years before you tried that again.
So, No. I don't want to go into graphic details, but I ended up that evening still having intercourse.
Able to perform.
Well, with a compromised condom.
Oh.
Horrible. Ooh. Gentlemen, if that ever happens to you, okay, this is what you say to her. You look at her and you go, "Excuse me?
I'll be right back."
And then go, "You know what? We're moving really fast. Maybe we should take our time. You should take a nap or something." Oh,
no,
I
don't want you to massage.
Yeah, time massage. I it was horrible. It was the worst experience. Like if someone said, "Hey, you want to go hiking?" And you're like, "Yeah, sure." And they're like, "Quick, before we go hiking, let's jump in the river and get our socks all wet." And then you go on the hike with wet socks, and the whole time you're like, "This is so uncomfortable."
Oh no,
it was horrible.
But I'm sure your wife loves hearing these stories. I know she
listens
to the show.
I've told her. Yeah. I've told her it. Oh, I tell them at dinner parties.
That's very comfortable. Yeah. That's very comfortable. Are you guys, your wife's 9 months pregnant.
9 months pregnant.
You still have
another
sex?
Baby girl. Oh, yeah. I you love it. Sex, oh, yeah. God. I love it.
Late in one of God's jokes is late in the game, he makes them interested in sex.
Now, here's my problem is I'm really into that now.
Yeah.
I'm into pregnant chicks.
Yeah.
Like, there's something really sexy about a pregnant woman, and I don't want to open that Pandora's box of, like, looking for pregnant porn. Because that's disturbing.
Well, you already got the scoria. Scythora.
We'll just hang out for 9 months. See what happens with Scythoria. Syphilis.
Oh, my God.
Let's take a call.
Let's do. Here's Rachel. Rachel?
Hi, how are you?
Hey there, what's happening?
I had a quick question about my boyfriend's semen.
Yeah.
He says that it's never happened to another girl, and it's just me that it's happened to her, or so he's noticed. But his cum seems to be extremely thick, and, like, to the point to where, like, I can't, when I wipe it off, there's still residue. And even after I take a shower, there's still residue.
It was like paint. You're smearing it. Like someone spilled paint in the garage. You're like, I can't clean it up. You should try gasoline. See if that helps out.
I don't know about gasoline.
Oh, how did he handle it when you said, in comparison to all the sperm you've seen, you've got really thick sperm?
Yeah.
How did he handle
guys
it?
Guys love that kind of statement. They love that.
Oh, yeah.
They want to kill themselves immediately.
And there's a lot of it.
Is he drinking a lot of alcohol? What's he eating? Because I know that if you drink a lot of alcohol, it tastes like sour. Wait, I don't know that from my own personal experience.
Of course not.
Rachel drink a whole lot. He has a lot of fish, like salmon and stuff and vegetables. But
no, the probably is just him. I mean, guys have different consistencies, and that consistency can change based on how frequently they're ejaculating. I mean, if he sort of clears the pipes more frequently, it should thin out a bit.
So
some guys can have.
Should we be having sex more often, maybe?
There you go. Or
sure.
Yeah.
Why pitch that to him. See what he says.
Pitch it.
He's got a big smile on his face now.
Yeah. He's a fan of the show now.
Yes. Oral sex. Try oral sex every day. See what he thinks of that.
Some guys even have like a tapioca pudding consistency. They have like chunks. I'm just saying. Are you, Albert? See, I was
No. Bert. My nipples tingle.
There's nothing that I can like feed him on a daily basis.
Drew's.
No, there's nothing. I was just listening. I was going to open my famous
Drew, why?
The famous transsexual book with the penis reconstructions and stuff and burst nipples.
The disturbing thing is that someone, it takes time to write a book. You can't just bang one of those out in a weekend.
No,
someone dedicated a good month in a cabin to transvestites.
No, this is a guy, and this is rebuilding penises that have been shot off and stuff like that. And somebody's paging you or something. What is that?
It's not me.
You hear that?
Yeah, maybe it's an earthquake.
Vibrating. All right, let's take some more calls here. This is more sex for them. This is Heather. What's up, Heather?
What's up, Heather?
Hi. I'm calling about my ex-boyfriend. We broke up, and today, after, he made out with some girl that he didn't even know, and I went to a party with his friend the day after that, and we were pretty drunk and high, and his friend touched my vagina, and the next day he told my ex-boyfriend, and now my ex-boyfriend got really mad. But then we got back together, and he's bringing it up, and he broke up with me again because it made him mad again, and I don't understand why he keeps getting mad.
Did you let his friend touch your vagina?
I'm sorry?
Did you let his friend touch your vagina?
No, actually, I didn't. Like, it was dark, and I was actually trying to prove something that... And I walked up to him, and he actually touched it. I wasn't really looking at him touch it, and then I felt it, and I was like, oh.
What? Where do you keep your vagina?
In between my legs.
But yeah, but like, did he touch it directly, or was it a pair of pants in between?
Oh, I was wearing a skirt.
And you weren't wearing panties?
No.
That guy sort of raped you. I mean, he's sort of a sexual assault, right?
I don't know. We were pretty gone, high and drunk.
I see.
True. I'll tell you what. Young relationships where a guy says, takes that stuff out on you and won't let go of something, he's never going to let go of it. So it's over, really. I mean, I know it sucks, but...
Yeah,
he's not man enough to get mad at his friend, so he takes it out on you. And that's
guys cannot let go of stuff like that. It's weird.
Yeah.
17-year-old males, I mean, that is everything to them.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody else touches their property, they just flip out. Testosterone does that to guys. I don't know why. It's something they kind of grow out a little bit.
Yeah, and you'll think it's gone, and then one night you'll be coming back from a seafood restaurant, and he'll be drunk, and he'll go, and that's why you're a whore.
Right.
And you'll be like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, I can't date you. I don't even know why I gave you an opportunity after Fred.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty much... That speaks a little bit about him, too. He's not the greatest guy, that he's sort of that focused on that and won't forgive you. And just let things go. Let it go. This is Michelle.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Michelle.
What's happening?
All right. Just to give you some background, my best friend Dakota and I are virgins and have strong beliefs for saving ourselves for marriage.
Good time.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, I had a boyfriend for about 4 months, and he left me. And I feel that our relationship could have progressed to the next level if I had given up what I believe in. So my question is, how can I find a guy that will respect my beliefs? And do you think I'm being too old-fashioned by saving myself for marriage?
Not at all. Look,
no?
It's your beliefs.
Yeah.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, and stick with that. That's cool. Okay. And I know that everyone right now is in their car going, oh, come on.
It's easy for you to say, Bert.
Yeah. But
you were the world's biggest party animal.
I just told that story about losing my virginity. I lost it when I was 17. And let me tell you the part you don't hear about losing your virginity. The part everyone tells you is like the cafeteria, like, dude, you bang that out. And you're like, yeah. And they're like, you hit that all the time now. But the part you don't hear is when you're laying in bed going, I just had sex.
Yeah.
Like, I could get AIDS. Like thinking you're going to get HIV.
Or there's a whole other part where people don't think about where you get involved with a person so deeply as a result.
It's a really big deal.
It's a big deal. And you don't know, you feel like, I'm never going to leave this person.
What if she got pregnant?
Yeah,
I'm going to be a dad?
Yeah.
I'm 17 years old. Like, I'm on the baseball team. Look, sex is a grown-up thing.
Yeah.
And how old are you?
19.
19. You're not a grown-up yet. You ready for a kid?
No.
Maybe at some point you will change your mind, but right now you don't, and that's fine. Any guy that wants to be with you has got to understand that up front, and I bet plenty of guys will be fine with that.
Oh, dude.
They'll be fine.
I would love to find a virgin. I don't even know if they exist. They're like Eskimos. I don't even know if Eskimos are real.
So do guys like that, virgins?
Yes.
Some guys.
Yes.
Do. Some guys would
be
delighted.
It's like getting a rental car, and you go in. There's only 12 miles on it, and you're like, "Are you kidding me? No one's smoked in here. No one's done trashed this thing. This is fantastic." A guy will be cool with that. And look, you're gonna find guys that are gonna try to switch you over and do it. But hey, maybe that'll be your progression, and maybe that's how you'll lose it. And you never know.
Right.
But if a guy's not cool with it,
that's too bad.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
I'm also curious about my body and everything, because I've never masturbated, so...
Oh, do that.
Do you have anything to tell me?
I don't even know what's down there, really.
Yeah.
I don't have one of those, so I...
What do you mean, do we have anything to tell
punch
you?
Punch it. I don't...
what do you mean? What are you asking us?
Well, how
does she masturbate?
You?
Go ahead, Drew.
How do you masturbate?
Yeah, if you're a girl.
One of the ways that a lot of women that don't... See, there's different versions of the female. Okay? Maybe, Bert, let me bring you along with this. About 60% of women will only orgasm with some sort of direct stimulation. They will not have an orgasm with intercourse. Over half.
Really?
There's another percentage of about 30 or 40% that will have orgasm sometime with intercourse, but more reliably with oral sex. And then there's a version that about 5 or 10% that have orgasms repeatedly and sometimes multiple, like we'll have 50 or 30, or we'll have just one right after the other without any refractoriness.
That's
and you can't
time.
Move
we
back.
We call them the Highlanders.
What'd you say, Michelle?
That's a good time, right?
That's a good time, but that's not you. And you can't move from one category to the next.
Okay.
The women that are highly orgasmic usually know that young, and it's easy for them, and it's just the way it is. They do it when they're doing leg lifts, they'll have orgasms. It's crazy. So that's not you.
I would work out so much
and the
if
women,
I could do that. I need more leg lifts. Just one more set.
And the women that need the direct stimulation oftentimes don't have any sort of orgasmic function until about 18 to 22. It just doesn't sort of come online.
Now, she can't use, I don't know what words you can and can't say, but a DILDO.
Yeah, but that probably...
Because would lose her virginity.
She needs something stimulating the outside anyway.
A woman
needs some sort of direct stimulation. And these girls sometimes would benefit from, like, water shower massagers. That kind of
shower massagers? You guys shower massager, Michelle?
Or what some women do is actually prop their feet up with the tub spigot over and let that water kind of come right down on top of things.
Wow.
Or a jacuzzi jet, that sort of thing, that some people find is the way
jacuzzi
to get
might
things
be dirty.
Going.
He gets staph infection or
something.
No.
You know, not inside, just for the outside.
I knew that.
It's not an inside-out penis, bro. I got to get you out of there. There's something on the outside. Women have a thing on the outside called a clitoris.
Yeah,
and that
would become
a penis if they had testosterone and Y chromosome. Yeah, you're right.
Clitoris. For the longest time, a clitoris was like Mongolia. Like, for me, I was like, yeah, I know it exists. I couldn't put it on a map. Sure, I know it's over near Russia, right? And they're like, Russia? You mean USSR? Oh, same thing.
So, Michelle, you got to kind of experiment with things a little bit, but it's going to be, oftentimes some women that are need some sort of direct, you know, not easy to orgasm, also need an experience of intimacy. They have to kind of experience, that's why they light candles and that kind of thing. Guys.
By themselves?
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't know that? It's not your wife, evidently.
The craziest I ever gotten one time I was thinking, like, what do I do with my left hand while I'm masturbating? Because it's just sitting there like a homeless guy, not doing anything.
Sock puppet. I know
that's
what you did.
Sock puppet. Yes.
Sock puppet.
Hey, you're really hot. Oh, thanks a lot. Hey. Feed myself grapes. Do a rodeo cowboy thing. It's funnier if you can see it.
It's a visual humor. It's visual.
Visual.
But, Michelle, hang in there. All right? It's all good. Yes. Relax.
Good luck, Michelle.
Okay?
Thank you.
Things sound great. Okay. Excellent. Okay. Here's where we may have a little more trouble. Brad.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
What's happening there? Hey, Brad.
Yeah, I've been listening to you guys for many years.
Mm-hmm. And now you're calling.
Yeah, my question is, my girlfriend wants to go a little bit of bestiality with a dog.
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I asked her if she ever thought about that. And
well, you asked her about it.
Huh?
You brought it up.
Yeah, I did.
And?
And she goes, I don't know about that. I have to watch it first. So I found some free clips on the internet. As soon as she saw that, she got all into it. And she's like, yeah, we're going to do that.
And? Why are you calling?
I'm asking if there's any, health risk about it.
God only knows what it does to your soul. It's exploitation of animals. It's not what you call healthy.
God.
I'm not seeing any specific STDs. We were having a conversation. Were you here the night we were talking about the guy with the horse?
I was listening to Joe Rogan, though.
Yeah, it was Rogan.
Joe Rogan was talking about it. The guy, you hear them make that sound like when you lose your air, like a...
Yes.
That was disturbing.
It was a male having sex with a horse, and the horse put his penis in and killed the guy.
Yeah.
Ruptured his colon and killed him.
Ruptured your colon's bad for you?
Ruptured your colon, yes. And probably tore through some of the important arteries. So, yeah, I mean, it's just sort of...
how are you going to...
That is something God did not intend, that's for sure.
Yeah, how do you carry on a regular relationship with a woman after she's had sex with you and a dog? Like, in just holding hands, walking in the park, and you see another dog, and you're like, oh, remember that? Like, that's just awkward.
Yeah, it means something. I'm not sure what it means in this case.
Is he still on the phone?
Yeah.
Are you doing it to, like, humiliate her a little bit?
No, it's just a curiosity thing, and she got all into it.
It's definitely curious. It's like a curious thing, but are you going to be cool? Can you still love her after she's had sex with your dog?
Well, we've been together for more than 2 years. Actually, this month was our 2-month anniversary, our 2-year anniversary.
Yeah.
But,
And what kind of dog is it?
Yeah, she told me when she was a kid that when she was at her parents' house and she knew her mom couldn't see her.
What's the dog's name?
Dog, their dog actually went up and started licking her.
And what's the dog's name?
I actually don't have a dog right now. That's the problem.
Oh, so you're going to go out and buy a dog.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's talk about the responsibility of owning a dog, okay? For a one-night stand, that's a big responsibility. You got to walk it every day. You got to feed it. It's got to have sex with your girlfriend. Yeah, I wouldn't do it, man. Just having a dog by itself is a little hard.
And well, again,
I've had dogs in the past.
Yeah, well, then it's a whole different story.
Oh, yeah. Well, so you're used to it. Did you ever have sex with them?
The fact that she has had the dog do things to her in the past. Again, what's up with her? Is she in the room there with you? Can we talk to her?
Actually, no. She's in Cyprus right now.
Okay.
Cyprus, okay.
I noticed one thing about people. When people say the word actually, they're lying.
Yeah.
Anyone who starts off a sentence with actually, that means they're trying to prove to themselves, like, oh, you caught, but no, but actually, because they're...
Interesting.
My buddy Lorenzo does it all the time.
When he's lying.
Yeah, you'll tell him something like, so did you sleep all day? No, actually, I worked out. And then you go, oh, great, he slept all day. Because it's like the natural reaction. No, actually, like... Oh, like, who are you saying actually to do? I just asked you. Like, ask me if I'm fat.
Are you fat?
Yes. ask me if I'm fat and we're on the phone.
Are you fat?
Actually, I'm, like, in pretty good shape. It's a lie. It's a lie.
Did you work out today?
Actually, I ran 3 miles. Actually, yeah. Actually, I've been doing sit-ups every day. ask me if I drink.
Did you drink?
Actually, I haven't. Look, I'm already lying. It's already a lie. It's already a lie.
You haven't given the answer yet.
Yeah, you can't see. It's a natural reaction. Actually, Lorenzo does it all the time.
The other thing they do is they repeat the question.
Yeah.
Do I drink still?
What's the dog's name? We don't have one yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a big commitment. Like, not only, just for a one-night stand with a dog, to go get a dog and then watch it grow and name it. Like, you're talking 8 months before you can have good sex with a dog. You can't just have sex with a puppy. That's weird.
That's over the top.
A puppy would be probably the best sex. He's so playful and fun. And then you can really cuddle with it afterwards, like, oh, yes, yes. And it's easiest to give to someone else, because you don't really want a dog. You're like, you could just go through puppies every day. Go, hey, you guys want this puppy? And they're like, yes, I love puppies. And then they're like, this guy keeps getting puppies. Because a big dog's hard to give to another person. But a puppy, you could just, like, we're banging puppies. We just had a foursome with a litter. We had a littersome. And you're just giving damaged puppies to people who are just constantly getting in bed with them expecting action. Well, my last owner let me,
All right, that is, I just kicked out the computer. Oh, my God. That is Bert Kreischer. I've got to fix this whole computer system. I turned it off or something. All right, so we won't be able to take any calls until I fix the computer. Phone number is 1-800-LOV-191. You're welcome to call in. That is Bert Kreischer, who caused that accident. We'll be right back after this.
Meet somebody new tonight with Loveline Mobile 55463. Send a text with the word Loveline in it to 55463. Loveline Mobile. Hey, Loveline listeners, this is Anderson from that very show, and I want to ask you a question. Where can you safely make new friends in an anonymous way without unveiling your phone number? Answer, Loveline Mobile. It only takes a few moments to enter Loveline Mobile 55463 and see just how many new people are out there waiting to chat. Everywhere you go, there you are. Guess what else is always there? Your phone. No need to go to a computer with this. You decide who's going to be contacted. You call the shots. Pick up your phone right now, because there you are. There it is. Send an SMS typing Loveline in a text to 55463. That's L-Line. And join the Loveline community.
That's right. It's Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191. Bert was just telling me that he has an alter ego that speaks to him and through him in his comedy act. It's not what it's now. It sounds so hokey, but it's like it's called. Why is this doing
intrusive
this to me?
Thinking?
I feel like I'm trying to.
Yeah.
Okay. It's is
intrusive thinking.
Intrusive thoughts. Intrusive thought. Yeah. It's a real thing, right?
Yeah.
Where your brain just says things.
Uh-huh.
Everyone has it.
Uh-huh.
Can I tell the?
Yeah.
When I first got my daughter and. My wife taught me how to clean a diaper, a poopy diaper.
Yeah.
She would say, now listen, if it's a messy one, you got to clean out her vagina. So you got to put your finger in her vagina. Yeah. And then my brain yells, you're fingering your daughter. And then I was like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And my wife's like, why not? And I was like, because I can't. And she's like, just try it. And then my brain's like, you're molesting your daughter. How you like that? You're molesting your daughter. Way to go. You're a great dad. You got her a week and you're already molesting her. And so I'm like, babe, I can't do that. I'm sorry. And it used to happen when I was a kid. I told you this. This is going to come off so gay, but there's probably one kid. If it helps one kid to know he's okay, whenever I'd masturbate, like as soon as I'd be thinking, looking at the magazine, thinking of girls, and then right as soon as I would climax, my brain would go, Coach Crumbly. And I'd go, what the, why? Like, just out of nowhere, just like the most random PE coach I ever had. Coach Crumbly, not even an attractive man in the slightest. Coach Crumbly, like, and it still does it. I'm 33 years old, and my brain will still do it. Your sister, and you're like, why?
Your poor wife.
Oh, it's, yeah.
Why are you crying, Bert?
Yeah, but it's like, oh, you know what, though? It doesn't do it when I have sex with my wife. You know what happens when I have an orgasm? It's like my life flashes before my eyes. Like, I get a bunch of, like just, like a flower, like, almost like a like that movie,
Flashbacks.
A Beautiful. What's the one with Jim Carrey? A Beautiful Mind? No. The Jim Carrey movie. Spotless Mind.
I've never seen
Jim Carrey movie where he plays they get their memory erased and you go through the flashbacks of his childhood and you see a flower, then a Coke bottle, and like that's what happens now to me, and I'm like, I love it.
You actually see stuff.
Oh, it's like I sit there and sometimes stare at the ceiling and think, wow, what was that? Like my brain just started shouting stuff out, like flower, mockingbird, giraffe, subway car, midget, horse, lottery ticket, speedboat, and you're like, what the, whoa.
And when you're on stage, that's what comes out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. It'll come out sometimes, like, my brain will tell me things to say, like sometimes he's hilarious. And this is sounds so campy, but this is how sometimes our comics write.
Yeah.
Is your brain will say, like, wouldn't it be funny? Like, the other day, this is a true story. The other day, we were in the grocery store, me and my wife, and we're in the produce section, and my brain tells me a joke, which is hilarious, so I yell it out and just let it go, and I go
in the middle of the grocery store.
In the middle of the grocery store.
Yell it out
on a Sunday.
Oh, nice.
Yell it out, yes. Top of my lungs. I go, honey, this time get a thin cucumber. Yeah, and my wife gets it. Like, she gets my sense of humor, and anyone else, like a guy in the grocery store, laughed hysterically. And of course, one woman comes up to me and goes, that is disgusting.
Oh my God.
That is inappropriate. And then
did you, okay.
I just stare back at her. I go, get your mind out of the gutter, okay? I'm going to put it in her ass, not mine. And she's like, excuse me? I was like, you know what? Get a carrot. That's how sensitive I am to her needs.
What city were you in?
No, it was, I'll tell you exactly where it was. It was the Ralph's on 3rd and La Cienega. Or La Brea.
She came up to you and complained about your...
This word cuts me in half.
Wait, describe
the woman. Sharp features. Like a sharp nose. Red
young?
Freckles. No, young. That is so inappropriate. Those sharp features. There's something that cuts me up about, and she said the word inappropriate. Like I'm a child.
Yeah.
You're going to talk to... I'm a grown man. I make a living saying, honey, this time... I use that on stage now, and it kills. How you like that, sister? I hated her so much. And my wife's like, what would that lady say to you? And I was like, nothing at all.
Did you tell her what you said to her?
I didn't really say that.
You didn't?
No, I'm kidding. Of course I did.
Oh,
no.
You're the machine, for God's sakes.
I'm going to put it in her ass, not in mine. We're Christians. What's wrong with you? God. No wonder it was disgusting to you. You think gay.
Okay. Here is somebody going to give us some information on bestiality. Her name is Layla.
Hi, yeah, I work for the San Diego Department of Animal Services, and I just wanted to put in a response to that guy who was thinking about bestiality.
Do you think he really was? We don't think he was for real.
It's a lie.
Yeah, that was
not
for real.
Oh, really? You think he was just making it up?
That was definitely not for real. But
watch this. What do you do for a living?
Actually, I work for the
department. Prank caller.
Did you hear us?
Yeah. Oh, so you were joking with us?
I'm sorry?
You're good. You're joking with us? You're good.
No, I'm not joking with you. I work for the Department of Animal Services.
Okay.
That particular crime carries a sentence of about 4 years and up to $10,000 in fines.
And let me tell you something. When you go to prison for having sex with animals, I don't think they treat you nice. I think they knock out all your teeth and turn you into a suck puppet.
Well, that probably makes me feel better. But, yeah, hopefully he was just kidding because that's all right.
Does this happen very much, do you think? Do people do this kind of stuff?
I don't know. I live in San Diego. I'm really close to Tijuana, so I really don't want to know.
Oh, yeesh. You're right.
I've heard stories, but we haven't gotten too many people, like, in the shelter that are, you know, seizing dogs for,
there was that,
you know,
crazy farm that they came upon, a crazy farm recently.
Was that the one Joe Rogan was talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's up north.
Yeah.
I don't get that. I don't know why people would do that to animals.
Yeah.
And not only that, like, what if you...
My experience in talking to people, they do live sort of online together, the zoophiliacs. They have a little community.
What's it called?
Zoophilia.
That's when you have a thing for animals?
Yeah. And the only thing I could get from having spoken to couples in the past is that they are deeply, deeply disconnected. They feel they sound like
wow, that was a real thing.
No, but I mean,
they
don't sound like that guy we were just talking.
They
sound kind of like zombies or robots or something.
Really?
And the only sort of common experience that I could sort of find was severe neglect in childhood. So the part of the brain that connects with humans and creates empathy and the existence of other people stops developing. And so the only thing they attach to whatever.
It's like how can you do that to an animal?
I know, but it's not animal people. They're all sort of the same valence.
It's like serial
killers.
Like a tool
song in the making, right?
What's that?
Like a tool song in the making.
Yes.
You ever heard any tool songs?
Yeah.
I haven't.
Tool's the best band. Yeah. It's the deeply disturbed. I wrote a college thesis on the song Prison Sex.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because it's this cyclical. If you've ever listened to a lot of Tool, it's this cyclical. You did?
Oh, yeah.
I would love to talk to that guy. Because it's like a cyclical about this guy going to prison and getting raped, and then he goes and rapes people in prison, and it's fantastic.
Well, and then there's the other one that I can't say on, you know, it's called Number Two, but it's about that. It's about being disconnected from your emotions and being so disconnected that the only way that you can, you know, feel pleasure or anything like that is to do something really crazy like that. You know what I mean? So,
I'm so normal on, like, the sexual spectrum. That, like, not even normal, I'm probably like a prude. I'm probably like I'm probably like a child.
Naive. Kinda.
Naive, yeah. But just blows me away. I don't know how, after you've had orgasms, you know that like, like how do you, and then you got a dog in between you, and like, how do you look at someone in the eyes and say, so, do you want me to get you a towel, or?
Right, it's hard to order.
Is that why you guys thought it was a prank call, because the guy was just being too normal?
It was that, and he used the word actually in response to every question.
Yeah.
And he sort of repeated the questions back and stuff. But, you know, it's worthy of discussion. I'm glad you called in. Thanks, Layla.
Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And let's talk to you quickly, Caroline.
Hello?
Hey there, Caroline.
Hey, Caroline? Yeah, hey, what's up?
Yeah, hey.
What's up? So, yeah, my question is, well... It's kind of weird. So my boyfriend goes down on me. He always bites my clit. And it's really weird, and it really hurts me. And I try to, like, start saying, ouch, while he's doing it. But he was kind of like, he keeps doing it again, like the next time he does it, he still does it. And I, like...
Here's my... Every time a guy does something... Guys have no idea how women work. None. So they get, like, 90%... Nah, 100% of their information from, like, pornos and magazines.
Yes.
And if they see something on a porno that looks cool, they're going to do it. And you have to say, hey, what are you doing? Cut it out. It's not what I like.
For a short period of time, I saw in a porno a girl slap another girl's vagina. So I thought, that must be what you do. So here I am with my college girlfriend, like I'm in Family Feud, buzzing in. Ding! Ding! Michael Jackson. Ding! Certs. And this poor girl was like, what is he doing? And I just saw it in some porn, and I'm like, and she's like, why have you been doing that? I'm like, doesn't it feel good? And she's like, kind of scares me. Oh, I was like, really?
Yeah, guys are clueless.
You just got to tell them, don't do that.
Yes, they have no idea. They don't know what they're doing. They're fishing around. And to make matters worse, each girl that they encounter, totally different.
Totally.
So what?
Totally. Stuff that works with one. You're like, I'd have moves that I can't even use anymore.
Guys, made up of this one little bit of DNA called a Y chromosome, we are all the same.
Yes.
With slightly different preferences or sort of optimum zones. They will tell you exactly where that zone is. You don't have to search for it. The guy positions you there. He'll make sure he finds you in that spot. But in terms of women, they are clueless.
And if you're not comfortable telling him, don't use your teeth, you should go down on him and use your teeth and see if he likes it. And if he goes, what are you doing? Go, I don't know. You do it to me. You must like it. And he'll go, and go, well, I don't like it either, Captain.
Genius. This now is Mac, Captain. Mac, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, Mac.
I'm with Bert Kreischer, number one party animal in the country. Tuesday nights, Irvine Improv. Also, BertBertBert.com, BERT. Did you get the hits last time you were on the show?
BertBertBert. So many.
Okay, but show them the love, BertBertBert. There's some cool videos on that.
You'll like the videos.
His opus magnum, the ass waxing. Okay, Mac, what's happening?
Nothing much. I'm 17, and this is, like, my first serious girlfriend. And I kind of have a problem. She's, like, allergic to latex. And
what,
like,
happens?
So I heard that I have to get, like, polyurethane condoms, and, like, I've had sex with her once, but, like, I don't know exactly where to get them.
Anywhere they sell condoms will have polyurethane.
Do they still serve lambskin?
Yeah. There's lambskin, too, but that you don't get the same protection against the HIV, with the viruses and
She's
stuff.
She's 17.
I know, but still, the polyurethane's a little better. Yeah. Polyurethane, right?
Polyurethane. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no way they won't have them. They have them pretty much everywhere they sell condoms.
Do they?
Yeah. What happened?
How's let's be real for a sec. How was your first time?
It was good. It was fun.
Fun?
Yeah, it was fun. It was energy. It was kind of weird.
Kind of weird?
Kind of weird, but, you know, it was fun.
Yeah.
No. Now come on.
Let's like, when you say kind of weird, like,
what happened?
What happened?
Well, you know, she kind of went on top, and, like, she didn't kind of position herself too right, and she kind of, like, you know, kind of, like, bent the wood.
They need to make porns with 17-year-old virgins. Those are going to be comedy. Just someone go, Hal, what are you doing? Oh, you don't like this? No, never mind. My hair. Ouch. Is that a gun? No.
Exactly.
And it's so like, awkward, isn't it? And then you're just so excited to be there.
You know, it just would have been like, oh.
And by the way, let's face it, when you lost the wood, which is what you're describing,
exactly.
Happens to, yeah, that softening problem happens to actually most, well, not most, but a large percentage of men first time out.
Yeah.
So it gets so much better.
But most guys first time out, they lose their wood. It's the strangest thing.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. But, you know, it was fun. It was weird.
Except it was fun because you did.
Without an erection, though.
Exactly.
It's like going to Europe, but then you just tore all the Holocaust museums. And you're like, oh, but I was in Europe. It was fun.
Yeah, exactly. Like
Well, dude, it's going to get so much better, especially you got a girlfriend you're doing with her. Oh, I wished.
So what happened to her when you used the condom?
When we used it?
Oh, you didn't use a condom?
Well, we didn't the first time. We did it a second time with the polyurethane, but, like, we were kind of running low. So, like, that's why I was kind of like...
Where'd you get the first set?
Kind of lonely low.
She had them around. I guess her mom gave them to her.
Oh.
But, you know, just in case for, like, that one.
That is a cool mom, huh?
Yeah, I know, yeah. Exactly.
Let me tell you something. I'd be hitting my wife if that was my wife. You're giving her condoms? Are you serious? Yeah, and clean syringes, too. Oh, good. Great. Why don't we talk about this parenting thing together?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, that would be a good thing. Yeah, anywhere they sell condoms. Right?
Was that weird for you? You're losing your virginity, and you're like, oh, I don't have a condom. She's like, oh, I got some. You're like, oh, where did you get condoms?
Mom,
I need one. What size do you need? Do you want to get a color? I just found out that edible condoms were meant for oral sex.
Oh, interesting.
Really?
I thought, right? This is me. This is a 17-year-old man. Right now you're going... Yeah, why would they make flavored condoms?
Well, flavored.
Flavor condoms.
The mint condom is
flavored.
Yeah,
it's for oral sex.
The mint condom, yeah.
Because I was thinking, why would they need flavored?
Yeah, the mint condom is for
oral
sex.
Like, do they have taste buds in there?
No.
Am I right, though? Isn't that what you're thinking? You're like, why would you have a flavored condom? She can't taste in there, can she?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what... I love that. I love that thought process.
What's the strawberry going to do?
Yeah. There's something about... I'm still 17 on so many levels. Like, I thought that, and then I was like, oh, my God, they would be for oral sex.
And remember, guys, that HPV vaccine is now available. Those of you that are sexually active, there's a vaccine. It's 3-part vaccine, 0, 2, and 6 months.
Get it.
Prevent cervical cancer. You can still get warts, and there's a cream called Eldera if you get the wart. But in terms of preventing the ones that cause the cervical cancer, even if you have one of them, there are 3 more you can still get that damn vaccine. It's one of the biggest breakthroughs we've had in STD management and care in my career. Get this damn vaccine.
That's a large statement.
I'm dead serious about this. I mean, my big sort of crusades, you know, are really for that morning after pill and now this HPV vaccine. This is really a big deal. So phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be back with more Bert Kreischer after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Bert Kreischer in here. Watch out for him in the produce department. Says things that are inappropriate.
Everyone does.
Everyone does, don't they?
Everyone does in their head. Yeah, sometimes I just don't. See, the problem is, there's no repercussion for me.
What do you mean?
What's going to happen?
For anything you say or do.
Anything I say. Anything I say. Nothing's
going
to happen.
Your kids could get affected, I guess.
But yeah, you got to do it young before they're... I did this to my daughter. True story, once again. Oh. In the grocery store, she was learning how to talk. And she was like, you know, remember when they would learn how to talk?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Just Slossenji, Kossenji? Slossenji? Just staring at people in the eyes in public. Slossenji, Kossenji? Like you're pushing around a homeless person. Slossenji, Kossenji? So I was with my wife, and I was like, she's really loud today. And my wife's like, I know. So I stopped and let my wife get ahead of me by 10 feet. So now she's the crazy one with the baby. And then I walked past her, and I go, shut your kid up.
Oh.
And my wife eyes lit up, and she was like, and I do it as a joke because I want to see what happens. You know, it's like, but once again, I can tell it on stage, and there's no repercussion. I learned something out of life.
Jamie, what's up? You're on with Bert Kreischer.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Jamie.
Okay, so I am a virgin, and I'm saving myself for marriage. But
good times.
I'm 21 right now, and since I was about 16, I've been using this back massager that we've had to masturbate. Mm.
Yes, back and massager.
Mm. Yeah, it's actually a back massager.
Yeah, I'm sure. Oh, yeah, we use it for the back.
So.
Yeah.
No, really, it is.
Yeah. No, really, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure.
It's one of those, you know, it's pretty...
No, yeah, people use it on their back.
Yeah,
it works. Back. Yeah. I'm just wondering if...
I mean, it smells just like your back.
What?
Nothing. You were saying your back massager?
Yeah, so anyway.
My brain is going nuts.
What's it
saying? He's going, do you take this back massager fishing? This thing's killing me.
No.
Go ahead, Jamie.
It's pretty big, but it works. And, I mean, I'm kind of conservative into the fact that I'm not going to go into a porn shop or anything by vibration.
Good time. All right, so what's the question?
Well, I can come to orgasm within 2 minutes easily with this. And, I'm just curious that whether or not this is going to affect me later on in life when I finally do have sex. And
no.
You're a diamond in the rough.
Yeah, no, it's gonna. If anything, you've sort of got things wired in, it's going to help you.
God, every guy's going to fall in love with you.
Yeah, and if it does have a problem, you can always bring the, BACMO 3000, whatever it is, and incorporate it into your activity. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. I just don't want there to be, any... desensitivity or, something.
You can desensitize. There is such a thing.
Are you serious?
Yeah, women can desensitize themselves.
But then how come I haven't desensitized myself? I've been doing it for 33 years.
Tried.
And the guy's still like a brand new.
No, I know. And women are a little more sensitive that way because they're concentrating a lot of vibration right on a particular spot and keeping it right there. And but it's usually not a big deal. And that, by the way, is something that reverses itself rather quickly. Erica.
Hi. I had a couple questions, but mainly I'm really interested in sex. And I was just wondering what I can do with that. I mean, I'm an anthropology major, and everybody looks at me like, what the hell are you going to do in life? But I really enjoy sex, and I just don't really know where to go with it.
But you want to do sex for a living?
Yeah. Well, I mean, not like a prostitute. I mean, like a counselor or, I don't know if I want to go into a professor.
Well, I don't even know what anthropology is. Can you mix anthropology and sex?
Yeah, I mean, the study of human sexual behaviors throughout time, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But Erica, your proclivities and your psychological sort of motivational tendencies should not be acted out in your career. That's not a healthy thing.
Wait, I do that.
No, hang on. I mean, in other words, if you want to study something because you're interested in it, that's one thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
If you want to become somebody that treats people with disorders because you're fascinated with it, that's not good.
Oh, that would be creepy.
That's not good.
If you went to your therapist and he's like, ooh, that sounds hot. Tell me more.
Right. Mm. That's a part. That's called acting out through your profession.
Well, I mean, I was kind of motivated by seeing the movie Kinsey Report, and then I read the book Time, Sex, and Power, and it's like...
Kinsey was a mess.
He just saw it, and it looked like he was gay, right?
Well, no, he really didn't understand what he was getting into at all. Okay. He was an entomologist. He was an insect studier.
Yeah.
And he didn't understand what he had gotten into, and he was just objectively studying things. He had no training in psychoanalysis, psychology, psychiatry, human
behavior. No wonder
his
wife was creeped out. She's like, I thought you were working with bugs. And he's like, no, I've been sleeping with guys.
The people around him were people who were acting out. This is very, very disturbed behavior. It was an interesting thing he did, and it was a breakthrough and whatnot, and it was important to sort of the philosophy, the epistemology with which he approached it, which was, why can't we look at human sexuality as a scientific lens?
Yeah.
Very important. But the way he did it and the team he assembled, really sick. And not to disparage anybody. And the Institute,
well, he's
now,
dead, right?
The Institute is quite good. You know, they're trying to maintain really high-quality science. But yeah. What you saw in the movie was people acting out. And that's what you don't want to do. Okay?
Hypothetically, if I were objectively to go into this, like, how would I want to pursue that?
Just go to medical school. Don't worry about it. Just go to medical school.
That just killed that interest.
Yeah, I mean,
I got to go to medical school?
Yeah, go to medical school first and see where you're at. This is Kiana.
You notice we got to have a lot of girls tonight.
Mm-hmm. They like you.
Yeah.
Yeah. BertBertBert.com. Show them the love tonight. Just lots of messages to Bert. Let them know you were all listening and how funny he was.
Kiana.
Yeah?
Hey, what's up?
Hi, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Kiana's calling from Alaska.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, the Eskimo comment pissed her off.
I'm not an Eskimo.
You're an Eskimo?
I'm not.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever seen one?
Yeah.
No way.
Wait, not
a quackoodle. He means a real Eskimo living in an igloo.
And I'm not talking about in videos when you're in fourth grade where they're eating whale eyes.
Nanook.
Yeah. Eskimos should do Fear Factor. They'll eat anything. Go ahead, Kikina.
Oh, it's Kiana.
Kiana.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, okay. Well, isn't there a possibility that you could be addicted to, like, meeting people off the internet?
Absolutely. That's one of the, and particularly if it sort of goes towards sex and things, that's one of the ways sexual addiction gets acted out. But at your age, you're 13, people just like sort of that dissociative experience of sort of being out there in that fantasy world, that treasure hunt of meeting people and interacting with people. It's a compulsion.
And it's cool when you're 13, because 13 is hard to meet people.
And you live in Alaska.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah.
You have internet in your igloo?
No, I'm not in an igloo.
Have you ever seen an igloo? Have you ever seen an igloo?
No, people don't live in igloos.
I knew they were fake.
Justin Felix, like,
those are fake videos, just like landing on the moon.
Anchorage, Alaska?
Oh, yeah? Can you guys smoke pot all the time there?
Wait, what?
I know nothing about this country.
Anchorage, you go up there, everyone's got a story, first of all. Everyone's there because they were fleeing or something. They got a story, everybody. And you go there, it's colder than F. I mean, it's just so cold. And moose walked down the middle of the street.
Shut up.
I swear to God.
Like the way our homeless people do?
It's like...
just cross the street like moose. Our homeless people cross the street like moose.
Right, I know.
Just randomly like...
It's really like northern exposure up there. That was not hyperbole.
I heard that they just smoke pot. It's legal. You can smoke pot in Alaska.
I didn't notice that. They seemed everyone had like work and stuff like that. But they were still all recovering from the earthquake from 1961, whatever that was, a huge earthquake.
Oh wow!
They're like, that's the bank building that fell down. That crushed that car. That's the one. And here's the wharf that got under the tidal wave. And it's 45 years ago. So,
guys, pick up.
Yeah, so. All right, it's 1-800. Oh, we're not taking more calls right now. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back.
God, the show comes by so fast.
Wrap up and wrap down with Bert just after this. Everybody, that's about it for Loveline. That's about it for Bert Kreischer, who nearly passed out this time. I nearly evacuated my bowels. I was laughing so hard. But next time, I think those things are going to happen.
We should get high into the next one.
Yeah.
Have you ever smoked pot?
I didn't inhale, but let's put it this way. To the extent that I did, it did not do anything for me, thank God.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing.
Well, the first time doesn't.
No.
What happened to your hair? Your hair went gray the first time you smoked pot?
No.
Oh.
I know Tom Anderson.
Someone just said, ask about his hair. It used to be long?
Yeah, my hair used to be long. I used to look like it. I mean, I used to look like a surfer when I was like 14.
You're probably, I'm just visualizing you with long gray hair. 14.
No, white surfer, crazy blonde hair. Nice.
Well, thanks for having me on, Drew.
I hope you'll come back soon.
Oh,
we're going to bring
you
back, Stryker back tomorrow, and then we've got Blue October. We've got Tara Patrick day after that.
Yeah,
we'll come up that night.
Oh, there's going to be so much honesty in that show. Oh, my God.
Just make a visit. You can be honest all over the room here with us.
Yeah.
Until then.
Can you squirt, Tara?
Dr. Drew saying, by the way, I'm happy to have contributed to your growth and development as we have tonight. Squirting it was the other thing.
Every night with my wife, I'm like, can you squirt, please? I got to see this.
Okay, good night and stay well.